Hey, what's up, everybody? This is episode 2 of the Wesley Podcast. And being Christmas, we thought we would spend some time just looking a little bit at the Christmas story. So what we're going to do is we're going to actually just read today from Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 through 25. And this is going to be something that we're going to do on the Wesley Podcast, and we'll eventually come up with a cool name. You guys can, and we'll have different Bible studies on the podcast, things like that. But just a way for you to, maybe if you're walking to class or if you're working out, just a quick 10-minute Bible study for you to be thinking about who God is and what that means in your life. And so we hope these short little Bible studies will be encouraging to you throughout your day, and you can use them in different ways. So we want to hear from y'all and hear how the podcast and Bible study is encouraging you. So be sure and let us know in the comments on the app or on our website. But let's go ahead and get started. So I'm going to read Matthew 1, 18 through 25. Then we'll just spend some time just talking about it. So I'll be reading from the NLT. It says, "This is how Jesus the Messiah was born. His mother, Mary, was engaged to be married to Joseph. But before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Joseph, her fiancé, was a good man and did not want to disgrace her publicly, so he decided to break the engagement quietly. As he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. 'Joseph, son of David,' the angel said, 'do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit. And she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.' All of this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through his prophet: 'Look, the virgin will conceive a child, she will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel,' which means 'God with us.' When Joseph woke up, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded and took Mary as his wife, but he did not have sexual relations with her until her son was born, and Joseph named him Jesus." All right, so that is how Joseph found out that he was going to basically be the father of the Savior of the world. Pretty pretty big announcement.
Yeah.
All right.
Pretty big baby shower, yeah.
So I guess first off, what stuck out to you guys? We got Joel here today and Drew with us. So what stuck out to you guys today?
I'll go first if you don't mind, Drew.
No, go ahead.
What's really interesting to me is Joseph was willing to change his entire plan because of the Holy Spirit, right? Like he didn't continue with his plans until the angel said, "No, don't be afraid to do this," you know? And that's, I mean, like, we can go into that for a while, but that's what stuck out to me.
There's one part of this that I'm curious about. He wanted to get they weren't married, but he wanted to break the engagement privately so that he wouldn't disgrace her. But wouldn't it disgrace her more to get to have a baby, like, out of any sort of engagement? I don't know what it was like in that culture,
yeah,
or not. But it that just struck to be interesting to
for
me.
For sure. So, you know, the interesting thing in that is, like, in that time, like, the engagement was this really serious thing, and it was actually something that, like, the community would know. Like, right now, it's sort of like our community knows now too. Like, you get engaged and you put a ring on, and all of a sudden it's all over Facebook and Instagram. But one of the unique things is that they would actually have, like, a contract, ketubah or something like that. It's some formal cool name of a contract that they would sign and what they would promise to live into. Now, and having sex with somebody else, or even with your spouse to be before that time, you could have been stoned to death.
Right.
And so in that, like, it's this really unique place of, like if everybody finds out that, like, Mary slept with somebody else, like, then, like, what disgrace, like, to you and to your family, and, like, and so there's this idea of doing it quietly and not, like, "Hey, let's go stone her. Like, look at what she did," you know?
Oh, okay.
But, like, hey, like, and by quietly, it could mean a lot of different things. But maybe, like, okay, you just run the other direction. And I'll just say, I don't know what happened, you know? Like, I don't think we really know exactly what quietly means. But what's cool, I think, is you see, he wanted to, still show respect even in a situation that seemed
right.
Like maybe she didn't show respect to him. That's sort of a cool,
right.
Cool thing that we can see from that too. But then the angel comes and tells him, "Hey, she didn't disrespect you. She didn't sleep with somebody else." And I think in that moment, for me, I would have been just like, what are you talking about?
Can you imagine? Oh, my gosh.
It's not like that's in, the encyclopedia, hey, this happened in 400 BC as well. This is, a once-in-a-lifetime.
Right.
This is the only thing, I could only imagine the amount of trust that it took for Joseph to really trust God in this situation, you know? That really sticks out to me.
And if that isn't a metaphor for life, I don't know what is, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Right, Joel?
Okay, so let's talk about this for a second. So, think about this. As college students, a lot of us, have big dreams, or at least we're trying to create big dreams. Amen. What do you want to do with your life? it's like, well, I don't currently know, but that's what my goal in college is, to figure out what I want to do.
Some people spend 6 to 9 years and still don't know.
That's exactly right. There's this point where, I think they had dreams and hopes for what their future would look like. We're going to get married, mm-hmm. and this is what life is going to look like, and we're going to live in this town. I just built this cool house for you, Mary. And you just sort of have this image of what your family's going to look like, your career, your life. And then all of a sudden it's like, hey, you're going to have a baby, and he's going to be the savior of the world. Shocker. I didn't know if I wanted to be pregnant the first year of marriage. Mm-hmm. That's different. Or, savior of the world, what does that mean? Are we going to be, looked at differently? Or, just all the questions that would have come with that. I think, for me, there's a definite place where the angel came and was like, hey, your plans are going to be changed. Your plans are going to be different. But I have an even greater plan than your original plans for your life. So, what would you get? Have you ever felt like God sort of helped you through a season like that, or have you ever had times where your plans have changed? Or,
I feel personally compelled to talk about this. If you've been anywhere in the same room with me for the last year, you've probably heard me talk about it. But I think I'm just coming out of a season of rapid and extreme change, from changing not just my major, but the school of the college, you know, from engineering to arts and humanities, or arts and sciences. But it was an incredible season looking back on it, but in the middle of it really sucked, because
mm-hmm.
I didn't know anything, what was going on, what was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But just through prayer and just literally asking multiple times, God, what is it going to happen, what is this going to look like, and eventually getting to the point where I can say, you know, whatever happens, it's going to happen. It's going to be your plan, and I'm willing for that to happen. And that's when I actually saw things happen.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you have to get to that place where you're willing for change to happen,
mm-hmm.
and you have to be there. And I think that's a large part of just basically what being a disciple is
mm-hmm.
being able to follow and to understand that you're not in control of everything.
And I can completely echo what Joel just said. I mean, the last year and a half, I've had a total change of heart as far as what I'm passionate about. And then even after I kind of got settled into that passion and that view of what I wanted to do, now I've graduated, and that brings a whole nother season of life that I have to kind of get used to. So it's definitely a let go and let God moment. I know I hate cliches as much as everybody else does, but it's very much a let go and let God moment, and it's just, I said it again. But it's just like the story. It's like when you surrender your life to Him, He will give you plans greater than you could ever imagine.
For sure. You know, I think in the midst of our plans being changed or things not going the way that we hoped for, I think one of the other cool encouraging things in this is, you guys both talked about patience and God's timing and like that was where God did a lot of your work. As I think about Joseph, as we read about Joseph today, it's like, cool, he had an angel come, and it's like, okay, like, it was almost like this thing that he could hold on to and be like, okay, like, God told me that he's going to be the savior of the world. But he wasn't the savior of the, like, he was the savior of the world from birth, but it wasn't until, like, 30 years later that Jesus really stepped into his ministry. So I can only imagine, like, Joseph being like,
right,
okay, God, like, you promised all these things, and, like, he's just like the kid down the street who's building a cool rocking chair, too. Like, I mean, our kids are both good carpenters. Like, there's this place where I can only imagine, like, Joseph being on his hands and knees and being like, okay, God, I had these plans. You changed them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what's the end result here? I'm just not seeing it yet. And I think, like, it's in those places of just desperation of being like, God, like, I need you. I need your wisdom. I need your vision to see as you see things. It's, like, in those places that God meets us and changes us the most, I think. And I'm encouraged to see Joseph just, like, trust God. And even think about it from, like, pregnancy. Like, he still had to wait, like months for the baby to actually be born. And then that, there's some cool things, and again, some cool things, little nuggets maybe that he could hold on to of like, well, what are these, like, shepherds doing here? Like, what are these wise men doing here? Like, why are these people coming? Like, so I'm sure, like, throughout his life he had little things he could hold on to, but I just think about, like, in my own life where it seemed like I'm like, God, like, what are you doing? He just gives me those little nuggets sometimes. Like, he sends those wise men to just encourage me, like, hey, you're on the right path. It's okay. You don't quite know what the end is going to look like yet, but hang in there. And it's like, oh, like, thank you, God. Like, I'm heading in the right direction,
yeah.
You know? So, I don't know. As I read this story, I'm just really encouraged that God just knows our hearts, and he loves us so much. And his plans are always greater than our plans. And so I don't know where you're at today, whoever's listening, but just an encouragement I think that we can all pull from the scripture from today is that God knows us, God cares for us, and God has a plan for us. And so what does that look like for you? I don't know, but I know God knows. And so I'd encourage you to just seek after the Lord this Christmas season and ask God, hey, God, like, what's your plan for me? Like, what are you leading me to? What are you making me passionate about? And in this college age that we're in, like, it's this unique and amazing season where a lot of people around you are asking those same questions. Mm-hmm. So I encourage you to lean into community because God can speak through a lot of people to encourage you along that path. Sort of like the wise men, I'm sure, encouraged Joseph. And I pray that you'll have some wise men and some shepherds along in your path and your journey. I'd help encourage you. So, any other thoughts, guys, as we sort of close this episode out today?
I don't think so. Just hope. Go ahead.
No, you got it. Just hope.
I just hope that everybody has a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year, and kind of like in this topic, like, you know, as we close out the decade, a lot has happened in this decade, and I mean, I know for me for sure, and like just
you're just old, so
I'm just getting old, and just. You know, look back at the decade of what was and thank God for how he's blessed you in that, and then just ask him to show you his will for the next decade. So,
cool. This is something that's not on that track, but something that just clicked in my head like this week for some reason. Like in my head, the wise men always like saw the star the night that Jesus was being born, and they like traveled. And they're like just down the road, but no, it was like months of traveling, and they saw it like months ago, and Jesus finally fulfilled that. But for some reason, I've been thinking about that a lot this week, and it just never clicked in my head that it was many months of a journey rather than just
wasn't like
days.
A lot of the movies sort of make it
yeah
appear, like,
yeah
there's the start and there's
like,
Jesus.
Oh, right over the hill, there's this huge thing happening. Yeah,
no, for sure. Even think about them, the trust of like, okay, what are we doing?
Yeah,
like, following this star. Like,
yeah,
this is weird, guys.
And then they saw the king, and he's like, hey, let me worship, and they get a dream, and they stop, and it's just,
yeah. That's cool. Well, hey, we hope you guys will keep tuning in to our podcast as we keep them coming out to you in some Bible studies. But Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.